We're talking this, we're talking that.
Hey, what are we talking about, man?
We're talking sex, not fiction, just facts.
Oh, man.
The freaky hookups that you just had.
It's gonna be good.
This ain't the birds and bees from mom and dad.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So, Karen, you just got home from the bar last night, and he wanted to get super kinky with me. What's up with that?
Hey, yo, Karen, I'm really trying to drive the ladies wild. Can you tell me what to do? Can you give me some skills, please?
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hi, this is Sex Chat with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Cat Van Kirk, clinical sexologist and marriage and family therapist, here with my favorite gay boyfriend, Mr. Ross Martineau.
Hi there.
We're here to answer all of your questions from each of our perspectives. Want us to answer your question? Call our 24-hour day, 7-day a week listener line at 213-270-1968. And Happy New Year's.
Yes.
Woohoo.
It's a whole new year.
It is. 2011. How crazy is that? We only have one more year to get sex in before the Mayan calendar moves in. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Right. And everything implodes.
Wait. Hold on. Yeah, it's true, though. If you only had one more year, wouldn't you have more sex?
I think I would.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be really good. We'll talk about sexual resolutions later on. But in the meantime, you can go to adamandeve.com right now, and you can get 50% off almost any item, plus a free gift and free shipping when you use the code DRCAT at the checkout. That's DRKAT at the checkout. And speaking of the new year, there's a new season of Californication coming on.
Okay, yes, starring Mr. David Duchovny.
Yes, and he's had his own share of sexual faux pas
and
in the last
quandaries,
year or two.
And right, exactly. So it's going into its third season?
It's going into its fourth.
Oh, fourth season.
Yeah,
wow.
Just finished the third season, and for those of you who don't know about the show out there, as you can tell from the title.
Right.
It's not just a Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Right.
Which I guess there was some litigation about that.
Sure.
But basically, David Duchovny plays a writer named Hank, I believe. Yeah, Hank Moody. And it basically follows his sexual exploits in L.A.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of the general, you know. And it's a well-done show, you know.
I have to confess, I've never seen it. I've read up a little bit on it, but I haven't seen it.
Right. Lots of sex.
Okay.
Lots of sex.
That's the fornication part.
That is.
And it takes place in L.A.
Hello.
Cali.
There you go.
I get
brilliant.
It now. You know
brilliant.
What? I feel like I've seen it.
You pretty much have. And obviously the whole thing with David Duchovny, too, is his personal relationship. They feel like his relationship on the relationships on the show mirror his relationships
his
in real life.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. So he starts the show. And, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? Maybe that's
right.
That's the dilemma I'm thinking.
Was everything fine during the X-Files?
Right, exactly. And suddenly, you know, did this character bring out, unearth, you know, something?
Right.
You know, the beast within that he suddenly realizes that he's a sex addict, which he said that he claimed.
He's been through treatment.
Went into rehab. Or does he have a really great press agent who said, you know what, Tia, we're going to give you an extra $100,000.
I wonder.
I don't know. The timing is so suspect.
Yeah, the timing is really suspect. And the fact that they're still together.
They broke up,
sort of.
Right. I mean, there was egg on her face or cum or something. You know,
or not.
Right. And I know she, you know, she definitely loved. I'm sure it's slightly embarrassing. So.
And they've got kids. So, I mean.
Right.
You want to be careful with that.
I get
it. But the timing is crazy.
The timing is really crazy. And I could be wrong, too, but when the Rob Lowe sex scandal came out, didn't that come out, like, right around or just before he had a movie that involved kind of the same thing? I don't even remember. This was, like, back in the late 80s, I think, early 90s, where I just thought that was really suspect as well. Again, the sex tape coming out kind of mirrored the bad guy that he was playing. He was in his career. He was going from playing like a good guy, and this is the time.
Oh, right, it was kind of a segue.
He was playing bad guy, and I just thought at that time, you know, it's like the timing was just a little suspect.
What is your agent having you do? Well, and interesting too. We've talked about the whole Charlie Sheen thing as well. That you know how he's garnered sympathy because his character is kind of this, you know, fumbling, ridiculous, you know, sexually overt person on television, and that people kind of like that and have made it okay for him in real life.
Right.
You know, so.
Blurring the line between, you know, his character and his real life, his person.
Yeah, absolutely. So it definitely makes you wonder. And the show itself deals also, in addition to sex, deals a lot with commitment issues about can men really be committed? Is it the old, you know, their way that we're all set up in an evolutionary sense is that men need to spread their seed and women just need to take it.
Right.
To take the seed.
Exactly. Bake the bread.
Right. So it definitely deals with a lot of those issues as well. And he's got a lot of very convoluted relationships with women. In fact, the way that the last episode had ended, he had this like nightmare sequence where he was floating in a pool and all the women he had ever bedded, which is a lot.
It's a big pool.
It's a big pool. Or swimming naked or laying out naked. And of course, he has a daughter who's a teenager who's coming up against her own sexuality issues, which come to find out she might be more like her dad than not.
Oh, not a good thing.
And an ex-wife that he still kind of covets. To me, there's kind of a Madonna whore thing happening.
Okay.
But she's moving on as well, too. But the two of them were sitting up on the side of the pool.
They were the lifeguards, if
right.
it were, ready to save him from the drowning pool of women.
It's full of Freudian, you know,
slips.
Jungian. Yeah, oops, exactly. Innuendos. So, but really interesting show, and I'm really curious to see what happens with season four. I do have to admit.
Admit it.
I'm going to confess to you all now. The sex scenes, a little gratuitous.
Okay.
Which is funny coming from me again. But my point is that if a sex scene has got context and authenticity and, you know, I'm into it. Like, that's the sex I want to see on
right.
television.
Right.
Versus I kind of feel like there could be some more relationship and character development that happens other than the small talk that happens in between sex scenes. A little
now,
shock value.
Is his character a sex addict on the show? I mean, do they talk about that? Does he talk? Is it? You know, is he aware? Is his character aware of that?
There's like a heavy play towards that. Yeah,
okay.
You know what I mean. So and now this upcoming.
So he's a likable pig, basically.
Basically, I mean that's how they're trying to set him up. Which David Duchovny is pretty likable, and in real life, you know, he's someone who's come out prior to the whole, you know, his own sex
addiction
problem,
right.
Which that's another show, the whole sex addiction thing, but was pro-porn. Was like, hey, you know, I'm the first person who, if I'm traveling, you know, I'll fire up the old, hotel porn channel and
okay.
how great porn is and, you know, a real proponent for it.
Great. Right.
But who knows if that got out of hand. But anyway, the season starts out with him. He's now going to teach at a college campus.
Oh, my gosh.
So
co-eds.
It's ripe.
Yeah.
Ripe for lots of, yeah.
It's not the college where his daughter's going, is it?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
She's
no.
not old enough. That would be really twisted.
Yeah, God. So anyway, very interesting, and we'll have to keep up with the Californication thing.
Thanks for the update.
You got it. You have questions, we have answers. You can call our 24-hour-a-day listener line at 213-270-1968.
Okay, our first question is from Nigel, who wants to know about lasting. He says, I have a problem with coming too fast. I try my best not to, but I only last 5 minutes tops, no matter what. Do you have any tips? Thank you.
So, Nigel obviously has no problem with, you know, everything's functioning
great.
Quick
on the trigger.
Just a little quick on the draw
yeah.
sort of thing. So the thing I ask most men about this is, to me, when I work with them around, you know, issues of, it used to be called, you know, premature ejaculation.
Right.
You know.
And now it's called?
Now you're just quick on the draw.
Okay.
In my book. But anyway, the whole point is if he is with a partner, or like a regular long-term partner, or not.
Okay.
Because there, to tell you the truth, that issue is almost a little easier to work with if you've got a partnered relationship, because there are certain techniques that you can do that involve a partner, versus if he's just out kind of having one-night stands with whomever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it'd be interesting. I'd like to know, you know, when he masturbates, does
yes,
he come in 5 minutes? You know, and if that's the case, then we talked about this in a previous episode. He might want to try edging.
Right.
Know, where, Nigel, it's where you basically masturbate to the point where you're almost going to come, and then hands off.
Yep.
So, you know, think
kind of...
Kind of
train yourself out of it.
Right. Dead kittens and, you know...
your grandmother.
Right, exactly. You know, think of something that's, you know, going to turn you off. Get hard again if you've gotten soft, and do that a few times, and that'll actually help you in the long run keep a longer hard on.
Right, and it's also a version of like the stop start method, which you can also try with partners too. Is that he can get in there, and the second he realizes, you know, that he reaches, there's a point of no return,
right?
You know, that he pulls out and he does some other sort of play.
Okay.
And granted, that might seem a little awkward with someone that you don't know, but, you know, it could just be the fact that you're an incredibly creative lover. Oh, my God, he's switching it up. Suddenly he's, you know, giving me head.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, he's back. Right. Hold on.
and generally speaking, too, when you're about to orgasm, you know, the focus is on you. And so, Nigel, when you get to that point, maybe it is time to pull out and focus on your partner.
Right.
And get something away, your concentration away from your own, you know, dick and your own orgasm, and put the focus on the other person, and that might help you not come so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's probably heard of their desensitization gels and things like that.
I don't want to go there.
I'm not big into that. But for most men, there really are ways where, you know, stopping and starting and paying attention to where his point of no return is and doing the edging. And he just needs to work with it a little bit. And doing it and playing with it during the course of masturbation is a really good way to start that.
Here's another thing, too. You know, desensitization. Rather than doing a cream or a gel or Novocaine or, you know, whatever you're going to Ambisol, try, you know, hopefully he's wearing a condom. Wear two.
Right.
Wear three. You know, whatever it's going to take to maintain your erection, you'll still get the sensation, you know, of penetration.
Yeah, that's a really
good
point.
But you're not going to get the full-on stimulation.
That's true. And if he's out and about with multiple partners?
Wear four.
Right. Wrap that baby up. So good luck with that. We'll be right back after a quick 30-second break from our sponsors, AdamandEve.com.
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hey there, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and get 50% off just about any item. That's 50% off adult toys, lubes, movies, or almost anything you desire. Plus, get a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it here. And to top it all off, free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. Just type Dr. Cat for the offer code upon checkout. That's offer code DRKAT at adamandeve.com.
Emily wants more sex. My boyfriend and I have been together for about 5 years now, and things are really good. He used to really want sex, and so did I. However, recently, things have changed for the worse. Now we go for weeks or even a month at a time without any kind of physical relations. I love him no matter what, but I'm tired of always having to bring it up because often he rejects me. We've talked about it, but he says it's just stress. What can I do to let him know that I understand he gets stressed and I'm not trying to pressure him? But I just want to enjoy sex with him without having to make it a big deal. I'm getting a bit frustrated and pretty bored, to be honest. Please help.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks. I can totally understand.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is her quandary, you know, like, she's kind of doomed one way or the other. Either she brings it up and makes it a big deal and, you know, that's her getting rejected again, you know, or she's just going to do without.
I say bring it up and make it the big deal because silently suffering is not going to get you anywhere except just bitter and probably an affair, you know, turning elsewhere. And if you bring it up, not during sex or not when you're trying to get him in the sack, but do it when you're laughing about something and actually, you know, having a good time. And that might be a segue into, hey, there's something, you know, now that we're feeling good with each other, there's something that I want to, you know, talk about. And that's, you know, it's an intimacy issue, I think. And that's, you know, a sort of a good way to start. At least.
Yeah, I think that the thing with most couples who get into this headspace about, are we having sex? Are we not having sex? We go for weeks or a month at a time. It's an issue. It's a desire issue. One partner wants it more than the other.
Right.
And it becomes this a much bigger issue than it needs to be because it becomes serious and heavy and people become really miserable really quickly.
And talking about sex is so taboo.
Right.
You know, we're not brought up to talk about sex or sexual problems.
No, people dig their heels in and they just think that the situation needs to resolve on its own.
Right.
You know, because they don't want to bring it up because number one, they don't want to be rejected. And number two, there's the stigma of talking about sex.
Right.
So absolutely finding ways in order to laugh about it, in order to make fun of it. Because I'll tell you what, Emily, you guys have been together 5 years. That's a long-term relationship. There are going to be ebbs and flows. And it's true. There are going to be stressors that each one of you experience that are going to affect your sex drive.
Yeah. And he also might want to get tested, you know, just on the medical side, if his testosterone levels are low.
Never a bad idea. If this has been going on for a while, I would say if it's been going on more than 6 months, to maybe do that. Right. Within that, you know, people, there are definitely times where you want more sex versus less.
Right.
Who knows if there's some other relationship issue going on that
very
maybe
true.
Isn't being addressed.
It's also interesting, you know, when you hear it's like, oh, we haven't had sex for a week or a month. You know, it comes down to what is normal? What is like the normal amount of sex in a relationship? Well, the normal amount is that are you pleased with what you're getting? Is he or she pleased with what he or she is getting?
Right.
Then that's normal.
That's,
I mean, if
that's your normal.
If someone's
exactly.
not satisfied, then that's where the negotiation comes in the dance.
And it's true. If one person within the relationship thinks it's a problem,
it's a problem
for the relationship.
Right.
I mean, period. And people would be appalled. If you saw the numbers, the average of how many times a married couple has sex or a long-term partner has sex. If you've been together more than 5 years, the average is like 6 to 12 times a year.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And not that anyone needs to accept that because
right.
you don't have to. There are definitely things you can do and other reasons why you should be having sex in addition to just getting off as far as bonding and having physical closeness. And that sounds like part of what she's missing too.
Right. The intimacy.
The intimacy. And I don't know how, like, if there's any affection that's non-sexual oriented because that should be happening too.
Right.
So you're right. They need to, like, she needs to bite the bullet. She needs to be willing to talk to him about it and bring it up in a situation where maybe it's a little bit lighter. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know.
Right.
You know, the last time you fucked me was.
Pass the butter. Speaking of butter.
Right. Exactly. Is that sausage? I haven't seen your sausage in a while.
There you go.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? You know what I mean? But there are ways to kind of lighten it. And the more you do it, it might feel awkward at first. Again, it's a matter of training yourself so that you're able to talk about it and you know, oftentimes people end up feeling so much better and so much kind of just lighter about the situation. They end up having sex because it becomes fun again.
There you go.
So anyway, yeah, if it's more than 6 months, he could definitely get a medical workup if he wants to.
Here's the other thing. Take him on a date.
Yeah.
Try, you know, try a date, you know, and.
Yeah. If you make it just about the sex, it's going to be heavy and ominous. Again, have fun with it. And, you know, if. The date thing and maybe woo him a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, right. and not be, don't be worried. If you're in a longer term relationship, don't be concerned about the rejection thing because obviously if it doesn't work out, it's just going to allow you to have a conversation.
There you go. Well, I'm hungry. Sausage, butter.
Buttery sausage.
Mm. Flavors in the fat, baby.
Slip that into a roll.
Right.
You have questions. We have answers. Call our listener line at 213-270-1968.
Okay, Jesse has a three-way quandary. I married a girl with a twin sister, and early in our marriage, there was a night that things got a little wild. There was no sex involved, but minor foreplay. Well, it was sometime later before we started down that road again. A couple of months ago, we played some dare games, which included kissing and touching, but that was it. So then I suggested we all three take a shower. We did, and OMG, oh my God, he says. We've done this a few other times, and it's great. However, I would like to take things a little further. I'm not sure how my wife feels about this, but her sister seems a little more open-minded. I find her to be very flirtatious when my wife is not around. I do not desire to have sex with both of them. People I've talked to judge me and say I'm wrong to feel this way. Oh, I'm sorry. I do desire to have sex with both of them. People I've talked to judge me and say I'm wrong to feel this way, but I can't help myself. What do? I don't want to lose what I got, but I need more. Oh, my God. Johnny in the play box wants all the toys.
Right? That is a bad problem to have, Jesse. I think you're going to set the girls off in
yeah.
the hot three-way thing.
Exactly. This is a Lifetime movie in the making, Jesse, and it doesn't end well for anyone.
It doesn't. I mean, so you're right. There are a couple different ways to go about this. Either, Jesse, you're going to leave it alone. You know,
okay.
and there might be situations that will titillate you and it seems like the other two people involved in this, the twin sisters, mm-hmm. hello, how more like apropos can you get than that? Obviously you're interested in the play. I mean,
right.
it's happened multiple times. Doesn't sound like he's necessarily setting it up and forcing the situation.
Right. And the wife, it seems to be open about it.
She does. And so surprisingly, I can't believe, can you imagine being married to somebody? And
no.
having this...
I'm not allowed to.
Right.
I can't imagine it, but I'm not allowed to.
Oh,
anyway.
No. We'll get back to that.
Yes.
But being married to somebody and having the twin sister involved in some, you know.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And then, okay, and I'm not, I don't even have the issue with that, but just not talking about it. Right. Like, wouldn't you say after the fact, like, hey,
that?
Wanda, that was fucking hot. Or, you know, hey, let's do that again.
Right.
Or, oh my God, I can't handle that. I'm, you know.
Right.
Somebody should be saying something.
Well, and he needs to, A, number one, he needs to go to his wife.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first person that he
needs. That is the primary relationship, Jesse. So as titillated as you are by this twin sister thing, you need to protect the relationship you have with
right.
your wife.
Find out where she is with it. Where is her headed? Does she want more? You know, because otherwise, here's the flirtatious twin.
Right.
Who is, it sounds like she's a little bit on the down low. She only flirts with him when the other sister's not around. It's just going to spell disaster.
Yeah.
Keep the knives and the guns out of the house.
make the covert overt is what we little say,
right.
therapy saying we have.
I see Shannon Doherty and as the twins and
you know what I mean? we need to avoid that, Jesse.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
It's as simple as having a conversation with your wife and seeing where she's at with it. And, you know, I get the thing about, you know, feeling judged and stuff. I mean, the whole point is if you got consensual people on board,
then there's nothing wrong
with
that.
There's nothing wrong.
Right. It's their problem, not yours.
No.
So then the other thing I'm going to, at the very end, his last sentence, I don't want to lose what I got, but I need more.
He needs it versus wants it.
And I'm assuming that this is verbatim. This is
it's verbatim.
His typed email. So I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or not, but that is also something to look at, Jesse, because if you need more, then you really need to talk to your wife because
that's a different relationship. It's not necessarily a monogamous relationship, and that's okay.
That's fine.
But the conversation needs to happen. And, you know, I understand that some women, some people, but in this particular case, women have a hard time they feel if they verbalize it, then that makes them the bad girl.
Right.
Versus if they're just in the sexual situation and things just sort of happen and get out of hand, well, then I don't need to really give, you know, I don't really need to say that that's okay or not. I'm just going to go with it. But you know what? That's so unempowering.
Right, exactly. And that might be what he finds out. You know,
right.
If he talks to his wife, she's like, well, I kind of went along with it because you did. But I, to be honest, his perspective is, oh, my God, it was great. And hers might be, why did we do that?
Right.
You know, this has now made me really uncomfortable. What are my parents going to say?
Right. And, you know, and if she's got the hangups and can't move forward with it, then if you need more, Jesse, that's a bigger discussion for
right.
you and your wife. And as far as her twin sister goes, also, too, the whole thing about having, you know, non-monogamous relationships is about negotiation. About number one, negotiation with your primary partner, which is your wife. And number two, negotiating with the other party and saying, you know, this is okay, this isn't. Because you get in those sexual situations and actually people who are used to non-monogamous relationships, they're very clear on what's okay.
Right.
Well, you can go down on her, but she can't go down on you. You know, there's
set the
anal
parameters.
That can happen there, but not vaginal.
Yep.
And so without knowing exactly what's going to happen in a really safe way.
Right.
You're right. It's got disaster written all over it.
Right. And you don't want to cross the line while you're crossing the line. You want to set those border, you know, the boundaries beforehand. Otherwise, it's just not going to end well.
Absolutely.
Jesse,
so
it's not going to end well.
It's not going to end well. Unless you talk to her. And if you talk to your wife and you get that stuff worked out, could be great. Who knows? But you got to lay it out.
It's not going to end well.
In fact, Jesse, let us know how this one goes, because maybe Ross and I need to place a wager. So we have a gay take and straight take on the featured toy of the week. And this is a fun one, boys and girls. It's called the Treez, Treeze, Wave Vibrator from AdamandEve.com.
I love it. And the special thing about this, Treez, Treeze, it's actually, it's made of wood.
It's a wood vibrator.
It's a wooden dildo vibrator.
Let's go back to like George Washington and his like wood teeth.
Exactly. Except, you know, so A, number one, get the idea of a, you know, like a whittled, you know, sort of old ore, you know, going up you.
Out of your head.
Out of your head.
Not the case.
It's beautiful. It's actually polished wood. There is zero chance of getting a splinter unless, you know, you crack it over your head or something and then shove it up there.
Right.
It's actually really beautiful. So, and it doesn't go soft.
It doesn't.
Yeah, talk about getting wood.
There you go. You got quite literally. Yeah, it's specially treated, and it's not just a novelty item. It's actually environmentally friendly.
I'm just surprised that they don't actually have the word green in there, right?
I mean,
it's so trendy now.
You would think that would be stamped on it.
Green wave vibrator, eco vibrator.
Right. Eco renewable wood.
Exactly.
You know, body friendly.
Exactly. Except for the, everything decomposes, or, you know, right. Except for the batteries.
Except for the batteries. Well, you should be recharging those too.
Okay.
But, you know, actually, that would make it even better if they had it, like, you know, it could be a rechargeable, which there are rechargeable vibrators too, which are really cool. But the trees, apparently, they were focusing more on the medium, you
okay,
know,
right.
of the wood, which really, I mean, it's natural. It's more of a natural material than, you know, some of the other stuff, the latexes and things coming out of the other sex toy manufacturers. It's also got 8 different vibration speeds. It's extra long. For deep penetration.
There you go. I read that somewhere. It's 7.5 inches long, insertable.
There you go.
So.
And the shaft is covered with ribs, so it's got for extra stimulation with every thrust.
Right.
I think that's
good for him or her, right?
True.
Now, is this the one we were talking, is this the one that gets warm as well?
I think the wood fibers basically definitely
heat up
maintain more heat. I don't know that it's necessarily so good with cooling it down, but it does come up to body temperature pretty easily.
Okay, I was saying, you know, if you shove it up your ass, you know, it could make you feel warm all over, like a like a cup of hot cocoa without the calories.
or a warm log-driven fire.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. But no, it actually sounds really neat, really novel, totally functional,
it's
though.
It's pretty.
Yeah, and it really
beautiful.
The picture
on the site, it's pretty.
Yeah, it's really lovely. So it's the Treeze, T-R-E-E-Z-E, wave vibrator. And the reason they say wave is because of the kind of ridges.
Right, it's rippled. Know. It's ridged for his pleasure. And, you know, as I said, it's pretty.
It is.
It's something that you might, you know, forget to put in your drawer, and you see it on the table, and you wouldn't know what it was, and it's
that's true. Yeah, it looks more like a piece of art.
Right. It's an incense holder. Mom.
Right. just don't throw it in with the kindling. That would be good.
Exactly.
So you can go check that out at adamandeve.com right now and get 50% off almost any item, plus a free mystery gift and free shipping, and you can use our special code.
Yes, that's Dr. Cat, D-R-K-A-T.
At the checkout. And, you know, given the new year, 2011... We're going to do, Ross and I are going to talk about our sexual resolutions for the year, which I suggest all of you ponder.
You're not seeing my face, my shock, my eyebrows are raised because I didn't know we were doing this.
I'm calling him on it right now. Okay, well.
My palms are sweaty.
Like, oh my God. See, I put you on the hot seat.
Yeah. Oh no, it's the trapeze that's up my ass. No, the trees.
The trees. Oh, wait a minute. I can set it aflame. Yeah. So sexual resolutions every year. As a clinical sexologist with clients that I work with, I talk to them about what would they really like to see for their sex lives for the coming year. And some people say, you know, I don't have regular eye contact with my partner during sex.
Interesting.
I would really like to work on that. It's not just a matter of, oh, I want more sex. Oh, I want better sex. I try to get people more specific about it.
Okay.
I would like to have sex in more varied positions. I would like to, you know, I would like to have a sex staycation, you know, where you hole up in a nearby hotel and you just have 24 to 48 hours of sex.
Okay, that's mine.
You're
that's
like, ding,
mine.
Ding, ding, ding.
I want it 5-star. And you don't have to clean the towels.
No,
you can use
exactly.
12 of them. And better yet, I've done this before, okay?
Yeah.
Get the room with 2 beds.
Yes.
So that's the one you sleep in and the one you soil.
Right. So. Exactly. You've got the pristine one.
Exactly.
And the one that's dirty.
Exactly.
A dirty, dirty bed.
Right.
That's it. My goal is also, so my sexual resolution for the year is to get more into experimentation again. You know,
like
with the toys and things and like, you know, because we all go in and out of, you know, sometimes we're able to put more attention towards things than others. And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I should go back to that and like try and play around with that stuff a little bit more.
And I think my second one would be twins.
Twins.
Twins. Any guy twins out there?
Jesse, do you have a brother?
Right. No, I want the one guy that played himself in Social Network.
Oh, my God, right. We're putting the call out.
There you go.
So we would love for all of you out there to also subscribe to our little podcast here, Sex Chat with Dr. Cat on iTunes. And also I've got a new video podcast, Sex Toys for Everyone. It's in the Sex Toy Box with Dr. Cat. And don't forget to call our 24-hour-a-day listener line at 213-270-9255. 1968. And I'm putting up some new YouTube videos on www.drkat.com. Have a great new year.
Yes, happy new year, Kat.
Woo-hoo! Find someone to kiss, Ross.
Yes. So is that a statement? Find someone to kiss Ross. Okay.
Oh, that's true. I know who you're going to kiss. It's yes. All good.
Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.